trying to see what the full staircase of your plan is versus the first step is the fastest way to scare yourself out of taking a leap. Welcome to She's Interesting, a podcast about business, money, and well-being. I'm your host, Rochelle Hariri. Today on the podcast, we're talking about a subject that is very near and dear to me, and it's something that I have been experimenting with and thinking about a lot over the last few years. Today, we're talking about taking the leap and saying yes. I've noticed a lot of my friends more recently taking a leap and pushing themselves to be uncomfortable, to try new things, to really own what they want to do with their lives and their careers. I think at this stage in our lives, when we're in our 30s and above, we've learned who we are. We're still continuing to grow and learning about ourselves. But when you get to this age, I notice that a lot of the conversations with my friends are different than they used to be. Oftentimes now we're talking about pushing ourselves and our boundaries. We're talking about creating more space and taking up more space. Whereas when we were younger, it was more so about just getting by. And times have changed, and I'm really, really happy that times have changed. Taking the leap to me means knowing that the current situation that you're at, where you're living right now, is not suitable for you and it's not serving you, and it's time to take the leap and jump into something new. And there's a lot of preparation that comes with doing that. It's not something that just overnight you can say, I'm ready to take a leap. Let's go. Let's go, universe. Let's go do this. I'm going to get a new job. I'm going to start a business. I'm moving to another country. I'm going to start a family. I'm taking the leap. That's not necessarily how this works. Taking the leap is a lot about internal confidence. It's a lot about internal growth and internal stability and knowing yourself. Sure, there's times where you're going to make very quick decisions to try something, but I think in life, as we look at our journey holistically, we want to grow, we want to be able to experience new things, and we want to be able to learn about ourselves. And so I've taken the leap many times in my life, but the biggest leap I took was a few years ago. So speaking of taking the leap and saying yes, earlier this year, I read a book by Shonda Rhimes called Year of Yes. I absolutely love this book. If you haven't read this book, you need to pick it up. I actually got my copy at HomeSense, which was very random. And honestly, I feel like it was meant to be because I was just perusing through the aisles at HomeSense and they have an incredible book selection. I don't know if you guys are going there and buying like home furnishings and things, but I go to the book section now because I found this book and it was fantastic. Let me tell you a little bit about Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes is a writer, a producer. She's an award-winning writer. She, if you guys are familiar with Grey's Anatomy, that's one of the shows that she created and was a writer for. Bridgerton is another one. There's so many of these massive hits on TV, these TV shows that are hers, because she's an incredible writer and she knows how to bring a team of people together. And she's so well-regarded in her industry and she's really at the top of her game. And so picking up this book, Year of Yes, immediately when I found it in the aisles of HomeSense, I knew right away, there's something about this book and I have to read this. This feels right for me right now. In the Year of Yes, Shonda Rhimes goes on to explain the story of how she came to this conclusion where she was going to say yes to everything. So the story starts with Shonda hanging out with her friends. And one of her friends makes a comment to her that says, you never say yes to anything anyway. And at first she gets a bit offended by that and goes like, what is that supposed to mean? I say yes to things. And after reflecting, she realized that, wait a minute, she actually doesn't. When there's opportunities to shine a spotlight on her work, when there's opportunities for her to speak in front of a crowd, when she's invited to these really incredible events with people that are doing amazing things in Hollywood and in her industry, she shies away from it. She's very much an introvert, likes to stay in her own world where she's creating characters because that is her safety zone. So she decides for a year, she's going to say yes. She's going to get uncomfortable and she's going to see where it takes her. A year of experimentation is what I call it, and a year of saying yes. Throughout this year, she has many obstacles, many ups and downs. People come and go in her life, but at her core, she learns a lot about herself. It was through saying yes to opportunities and making herself uncomfortable, that she realized who she is, that she realized she had so many walls up that were holding her back from living her life to the fullest, whether it's in relationships or her work or with her family. Saying yes enabled her to learn a lot about herself. And this, I think, is a great topic for us to reflect on and to talk about and share with each other. What are you doing in your life that's holding you back? Do you need to say yes to more things? And I don't mean saying yes in the sense of being a pushover and letting people ask you for things and tell you what to do and saying yes. I mean saying yes from the perspective where I say yes because I'm putting myself first. I say yes to things that I would shy away from, that would put a spotlight on who I am, my career, and me as an individual and as a human being. Saying yes to the right things will help to completely change the trajectory of your life. And I 1000% agree with this because that's also been my own personal experience. Ironically, as I'm reading this book, and I love Shonda's writing style, she is funny. I'm laughing as I'm reading this book. It honestly feels like she's giving you a warm hug. If you need a book to read, this is the book. Go pick it up, buy it online, get it from HomeSense, get it from Chapters Indigo, wherever you got to go, pick up the stamp book. So it was through saying yes that eventually she learned to stick up for herself and say no. One thing she was always uncomfortable with was confrontation. And who else listening to this podcast or watching this right now has issues with confrontation and not wanting to disappoint people for fear that they will leave you, essentially being a people pleaser? And I think we've all had those tendencies of not wanting to hurt someone's feelings or not wanting to make a situation uncomfortable. But Shonda, throughout her journey this year of saying yes, gets to a point when she starts to realize the difference between saying yes to the right things and saying no to the right things. So for one example in the book, she has a friend who was a little bit on the periphery always, and she had some doubts about this friend. And one day this friend asks her for a significant amount of money. The old Shonda would normally say, yeah, okay, sure, I'll help you, and feeling very uncomfortable and not wanting to do it, but for the fear of destabilizing this relationship and having a friend abandon her, would have said yes. New Shonda, Shonda who's learned who she is at her core, what she stands for, what she's going to say yes to and what she's going to say no to, decides to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And the response that she gets from this friend is crazy. Her friend loses it on her for the fact that Shonda's not going to give her a significant amount of money. And their friendship basically ends there because it enabled her to see that with her success, with everything that she has going in her life, that some of the friends that she has around her are not really true friends. And they're there for the benefits of being close to writer-producer Shonda Rhimes. And that, I think, is a really great example of being able to stand up for yourself in a way that protects you if you feel uncomfortable. One thing that I always think about is if I'm in a situation where someone asks something of me that I think is completely ridiculous or makes me uncomfortable, I've taught myself, habitually tried to teach myself this, and I'm still working on it, to say no. And there's nothing wrong with saying no. And if it disappoints the other person, it's fine. You're putting up a boundary and you're explaining to them, this isn't going to fly. And if it's something that sounds like they shouldn't be asking you for it, if it's a favor that's a little bit out of pocket, absolutely, I think saying no helps you to determine who are your good friends and who are not. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And we need to get more comfortable with saying no. And saying no in a tactful way, saying no in a way that you're standing up for yourself, and saying no for a way that enables, or saying no in a way that enables the other person to recognize that what they've asked for, they shouldn't even be thinking about. That's something for you to think about. So I mentioned earlier that I've also been on a journey of saying yes. And I'm someone who's always reflecting and maybe sometimes a little too much reflection and a little bit too much analyzing my life and what I want to do, which, to be honest, sometimes it leads to decision paralysis because I'm thinking so much and I'm analyzing, is this the right thing to do? Should I do that? What's my next move? And sometimes I have to remind myself just like, Rochelle, chill out. No decisions today. Stop overthinking one step at a time. So if we go back 3 years ago, let's rewind 3 years ago, and I was working at a tech company in Toronto. I was at this tech company for a couple of years, and towards the end of my time there, I just felt like this isn't what I want to do. I tried to stick it out. I was very much the type of person that was like, I am not a quitter. I make things work. I am successful. I am an A-type personality in some ways, but not in many other ways. It's very interesting to me anyway. And so during my time at this company, I faced a lot of tests and obstacles. I learned a lot about what I'm willing to put up with, what I want to learn, what type of work I want to be doing, what actually gets me excited to get to my computer and work every day. Towards the end of my time at this company, I started to realize I need something different. In my core, my light was dimmed. I wasn't being myself. I wasn't authentically doing work that I felt was lighting me up. I wasn't waking up and going to my computer and being like, I'm so excited about this project. I'm so excited about the work we're doing. I need to like do X, Y, and Z and I'm going to kill it. It was very much like I was working for the sake of working. And mind you, like part of this could have been because it was during the pandemic. While the pandemic was happening, we all had a lot of time to reflect and think about what we're doing with our jobs and our careers. And so it gave me an opportunity to not be distracted by my surroundings, by my commute, by my hanging out with friends, by going out and going to events. I was very much just focused on myself. And I think that time of reflection was so impactful. And I'm so glad that I was able to capitalize on that. At the time, I knew that I needed to leave this job. And so there's certain things that I did to figure out why I had these feelings of being stuck and how to get over them. The first thing that I did was I stood still, I was silent, and I thought to myself, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I currently feel is missing? That really helped me a lot. Journaling helps a lot. Brainstorming helps a lot. There's also this really interesting saying, if you need to make changes in your life, or if you are out of sync with your intuition and authentically what you should be doing, you start to hear these whispers and things get a little bit uncomfortable and you're recognizing that something is missing in your current situation. Those whispers eventually, if you continue to ignore them, they turn into screams. And that's the stage that I was at. I kept ignoring these whispers. I was like, shh, don't talk to me. I'm busy. I work at this really cool company. I have a cool job. I get paid really well. And I don't need to hear this right now. I just need to like focus on what I'm doing. But the thing is, over time, those whispers got louder and louder. And that's when I got to the point where I was like, okay, I need to just like pause and stop and think about what is my next move. So my advice to anyone who is feeling stuck in their current situation is to pause. Give yourself a short window of time to reflect and to think about what you should do next and to tap into your intuition. I believe that we all know what we should be doing, but we're so good at ignoring our intuition that that's where we get lost sometime. So the first thing that you should do is stay quiet, stay still, think about what you want to do and reflect on it. As I was looking around the company to see if there's different teams or departments that I wanted to work on, what I realized was at the core, the work that I wanted to do existed for me outside of the company that I was at. And so that's when I realized it's time for me to take a leap. It's time for me to quit my job. And that's when I quit. But I didn't just quit on a whim. I planned my exit. And so if you're feeling stuck and you need to take a leap, and let's say you are at a job and you want to go do something on your own like I did, or you want to switch to another company, there's a level of planning that needs to happen. You don't want to just quit on a whim and then try to figure it out later. Here are some of my tips for how you can manage taking the leap and what you can do about it. So number one, stay still and think about what you should do, reflect and brainstorm on what your next step should be. I think that in order to make a leap in the right direction or in a direction that serves you, you need to know what direction you want to jump. You can't just leap into the air and assume that you're going to land somewhere good. If you don't know where you want to land, you're going to land anywhere, and it could be just as crap as the last place that you were at. So step number one, think about it and reflect. One thing that I did in particular that was super helpful to me was I did my Ikigai. Ikigai is a Japanese philosophy on how to live your life. It helps you to unlock what your purpose is. It's a really great brainstorming activity, and I recommend it for everybody. So think of your Ikigai as a Venn diagram, but instead of two circles, there are four large circles, and they overlap each other. In each one of these circles, you are going to write down and address four different things. So one of them is what you love. The second one is what you are good at. The third one is what you can get paid for. And the fourth one is what the world needs. This exercise completely helped to center me. It really pushes you to think thoroughly about what your mission is as an individual, what you're passionate about, what you should be doing with your profession, and how all of these different quadrants link together to help you decide what you should do as your next step. I know that there's so many different tools online that encourage you to journal and think about what you want to do. There's tons of different prompts. I found this one to be the most useful for me. I think it is phenomenal. Highly recommend it. Google it, Ikigai, I-K-I-G-A-I. After you've done that personal work of thinking through what you should be doing next, doing your Ikigai, understanding at your core what you want to do and what's going to connect your passions, get you paid, and connect with your personal mission, that's when you go into step two. So what I did was, as I was taking this leap and going to quit my corporate job, and mind you, I was in corporate for 12 years. Leaving corporate after 12 years of working for these iconic global companies was not easy for me to do, but I will say that throughout my career, I knew that eventually I would end up working for myself. Whether I would be creating a business, working in a consulting capacity, at some point I knew that there would be an exit and I would have to go off on my own. It just happened sooner than I expected. As I was on this journey to figure out what I want to do next and taking the leap and saying yes to things, I also looked at my bank account. You don't want to take a leap and try something new without having your finances in order. The first thing you want to do is understand, what is your runway? How much time do you have to figure this thing out? What I did was I planned my exit. I determined how much money I had, how much money I was willing to spend without getting paid. Because you want to predict, how long will it take for me to find that next job? How long will it take for my business to get off the ground? How long will it take for me to get my next paycheck? So what I did was I calculated what that runway would look like. And obviously I am married. I have a partner. So we need to discuss this together. I talked to him. He was super supportive. And I told him, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. I really feel stuck right now. And I know that if I do this, I won't have any regrets in life. I'm in my 30s. Why not now? And I think that's also the beauty of being the age when you're over 30 years old is you've spent so much time in your career giving and working and hustling and doing everything that you can. You get to a point where you start to realize, I have enough cushion in the bank or enough fuck you money, as some people say, that I can try something for myself, that I can take a leap and see where this goes. I can take more risks. And especially from my background, I always grew up thinking about the security, making sure I had a good job, making sure I could pay my bills. So finally getting to a point where I could quit my job and give myself time to figure it out felt amazing. It felt scary, and it really felt foreign to me because I wasn't used to living in that. I was used to working and constantly wondering, like, how do I get more money? How do I get my next paycheck? What am I doing? So anyways, it's very freeing when you're at an age that you've saved enough money, you've worked hard enough, and you've pretty much freaking deserved it to give this to yourself, to give this treat of figuring out what you want to do next. So once I had my finances in order, my husband and I talked, and he's an amazing partner and was like, do your thing. Let's figure this out together. I then quit my job and I gave myself time to experiment. If you were anything like me, where you're a perfectionist, it's good to give yourself a timeline. It's so freeing to be able to say, I'm giving myself this much time. And whatever happens in this time, you know, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to go hard. I'm going to go all out. And then at least I know that I tried. And so for me, I'm giving myself a year to get out of my corporate mind frame that I had, to change my habits, to work differently, and see what happens. And it honestly changed my perspective on how I think about things. And in that 1 year, I initially was a little bit scared because I was like, I just quit my job. What am I doing? I didn't have like a full business plan, as you might have assumed. I just knew that I wanted to work with tech companies and startups and visionary founders and help them with their marketing. That was my goal. That's it. We're going to go forward with this and see how it goes. But luckily, as I quit my job, within a few weeks, I had already landed 2 clients. And so that was a signal to me that I'm on the right path. That's another thing as well. When you're taking a leap and you're experimenting and trying new things, always look for signals and indicators that are telling you you're on the right track. And so this to me was like, okay, I signed these clients. I'm on the right track. Let's keep going and see what happens. And so throughout that year, I had an opportunity to work with incredible founders, with some of the smartest people I've ever met, with visionary leaders. And I knew that I was in the right place. Because if I looked back at where I was in my job, I would have never had those opportunities. I grew probably 5 years worth in the 1 year that I took to experiment. And giving myself that year to experiment also relieved a lot of the pressure, because I thought, if it doesn't work out after a year, I can get a job. If you're going to take a leap, give yourself a time frame, because within that time frame, you will figure it out. Trying to see what the full staircase of your plan is versus the first step is the fastest way to scare yourself out of taking a leap. Make sure that you give yourself time. Once I took that leap and I worked for a year, I literally, by the end of the year, would look back at my calendar and say, look how amazing these clients are that I'm working with. I am in the right place. This is what I should be doing. And it was an incredible leap, and I don't regret it. And that's why I'm dedicating a whole episode to taking the leap and saying yes. Not just saying yes to anything that the wind blows your way, but saying yes to what you intuitively know in your core you should be doing for yourself, for your business, and for your life. I will say, though, there were challenges throughout that year. Because I was working as a solo independent consultant with these tech companies, I had to find my own systems, find my own way of working, and recognize as a solopreneur what works for me. I didn't hire a team. I didn't want to hire a team. I wanted to work by myself and grow independently. And so my advice to you as well is, while you're taking this leap and you're testing and experimenting, make sure to take notes on what you are doing. Make sure to write down what your thoughts are and what your process is. If I look back at my journal from when I first quit my job, the way that I was thinking about business, about myself, about my future and my career, it's so different than how I look at things now. And it's really nice to go back and reflect on that and actually see the change that you've had. Okay, so to wrap up this episode of the podcast, I really wanted to dedicate the time to explain to you my story and my journey of taking the leap from being in corporate for 12 years to starting my own business and actually believing in myself and the things that I wanted to do and then making them happen. There is nothing more rewarding than saying you're going to do something and sticking to it and believing in yourself. I think it's so important for us all as women to take the time to reflect and think about what we want to do and not just focus on societal pressures that tell us that we have to work a certain way, that we have to do things a certain way to be successful. Part of this podcast is to open up our eyes to the different possibilities of work and success and to redefine success for ourselves. And for me, at the time, it was leaving my corporate job and starting something new, getting clients, learning how to create a business for myself, and learning how to grow and scale that. And that to me is success. And I think success changes as you change. Success is not one linear option. Success doesn't have to look one certain type of way. As you grow and you change, it'll evolve. Right now I'm 36. Success to me looks a specific way. In 4 years from now, when I'm entering my 40s, I'm sure success will look differently to me then. To close off this episode, I want to remind everyone to put yourself first, to take a leap, to say yes to the things that are in alignment with who you are, your intuition, and what you want to do in your core, and to learn to say no to the options, the plethora of options that are not going to serve you. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I really hope that this helps you to take a leap if you're feeling stuck. And Be sure to subscribe to She's Interesting on all the streaming platforms. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And also follow us on Instagram. And you know what? Sign up for the newsletter too. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll see you next week.